So, I've got a very basic presentation that I'm going to show you guys. I'll be jumping in and out of it because I want to make this as interactive as possible. So I want to ask you guys a lot of questions in terms of where you're suffering at the moment in regards to your nutrition. Okay. So, you guys all see that? Yep. Yeah. Apologies. Got it. Okay. So, like I mentioned, we're going to be doing this in terms of lifestyle operating systems for your nutrition. But really, what we're trying to do is predict your own, call them poor habits, and ways that we can adjust your poor habits on a daily basis so that you can achieve long-term success with nutrition. For the vast majority of the people who come in through Muscle Intelligence, most of the clients who come to me, I don't have to hound them continuously to get their training done. Most people come to this program because they already really enjoy training. But most of you aren't getting your results in terms of body composition because you struggle to, or you haven't created the lifestyle operating systems for your nutrition. Okay, you do the training because you enjoy it. The planning and everything else that comes with nutrition, you may not enjoy it as much, but understanding it's a big aspect in regards to your overall success is important. Now, I want you guys to take your ego away from this a little bit. So I'm going to ask you guys some tough questions today, and I might challenge some of your paradigms in regards to what you see nutrition as. Okay, we all know the vast majority of the basics of it. But some of us are stuck in particular paradigms that we see that we need to follow a particular diet in order to get a particular result. And I'm going to show you guys that may not be the case. So we'll talk about like what is the optimal diet. We'll talk about the phases of MI training and where nutrition fits into those. Then we'll touch on like diet for fat loss, diet for maintenance, diet for muscle gain, all those things at a very basic level. But then we're going to look to see more so what we can do in terms of a top five. It doesn't necessarily have to be a top five, but we call it the daily top five of five actions that you can complete every single day in order to achieve your goal. Right. So when we look at the phases of MI training, ooh, that's not how you spell optimization. Right. Good start. We look at it in terms of foundations, optimization, and performance, right? The issue that we have a lot of the time is when people come in through the door, they assume they're at the stage of performance. The vast majority of us are not at the stage of performance. If you're coming into this program and you have 30 pounds to lose, you have high blood pressure, you have high blood sugar, you're not particularly skilled in terms of movement, then you come in on the foundation phase. So we're trying to create the foundation for you to allow you for long-term thinking in terms of decades of success with weight loss, muscle gain, and weight training. Then we'll look at the optimization phase. So within the optimization phase, we'll look at really being able to output and perform. Not quite performance yet, but output and grow muscle. And then we'll look at performance. So whether that's power, speed, jumping, all the other aspects. Some people may never want to go into the performance phase. But I wonder if you guys can put in the chat or you can shout it out, what phase do you actually think you're in, right? Can you execute on all exercises? Is your blood pressure where you want it to be? Is your aerobic capacity where you want it to be? So, do you do enough cardio? Is your gut health there? Is your stress management there? All of the above. So, if you guys can chuck in the chat and tell me where you think you sit in terms of those phases. I love that. So what Robert Hartley put, I love. So he says like the later stages of foundation. I love that. Optimization foundation, good on movement, but the rest not. Foundation, optimization to early performance, early stages of optimization. I think everybody's, so now I don't know everybody in this at the moment, but I think you're all being quite honest with yourselves there, that you're not quite at the stage of performance. We automatically assume, so I'm not at the stage of performance. I can be really clear on that. I have loads of stuff that I need to improve on before I get to that stage. And the vast majority of trainers or trainees never get to that phase of training. So when you think about what you would perceive as experts or elite weightlifters, and I don't necessarily mean just the people you see on television or the people that you see in magazines, but those who are at a really high level, 95% of us will never reach that kind of level. But performance, well, Matt's, and Matt, you probably are. So I think that's an important thing to recognize. So when you're trying to create a dietary plan, knowing where you sit in these, and these are on a continuum, but know where you sit on the continuum is really, really important. So if you're in the foundation phase, you probably don't need excessive amounts of carbohydrate to train, right? Because you don't have the output yet. You cannot put the stress through the muscle fiber that you would want to. Now, maybe when you get to the optimization phase, you can't do that. But that's important to remember before we get into the rest of it. Now, everyone always asks me, what is an optimal diet? And I understand why people think in this way, because they want the perfect thing to get them to that end goal. But I will challenge what you guys think an optimal diet is. So when I see online, you see it all the time, where people by nature want everything in black or white. They want to be able to tell this is good, this is bad. I can make an argue for any diet with you guys of why it's bad or why it's good. And I want you guys to be honest again. So put it in the chat. Or shout it out if you want to discuss it or if you want to argue with me, and we'll argue constructively. What diet do you currently? So people look at a diet as a specific diet that they follow, therefore it's right. It's how you see it online. You see it with Paul Saladino, who's the carnivore guy. You'll see it with the low carb zealots. You'll see it with the vegan zealots, where they'll pick, or even you'll see it with the flexible diet zealots, where they think you have to be flexible. What diet have you guys bought into in the past or currently, and be real honest, is there a diet that you see as being the most optimal? And I would think about this physically more than psychologically initially. Yeah, right. So Austin makes a great point. Optimal diet is the one you can stick to. Ryan? Past carb night and 80% paleo word. Well, my news today, I'm clueless. That's probably because you learned more, right? So you'll say you're clueless in this circumstance, Ryan, but it's because you've got to that stage of where you've learned a certain amount. It's a Dunning-Kruger effect, where like you get that initial bit of knowledge and you think you're really intelligent about a certain subject, then you keep learning and you go boom when you realize I know very little, and then you have to slowly crawl back up again. So Wolf's currently on the animal-based diet. Mediterranean diet works for me. I like the works for me thing. Carnivore approach is working for me at the moment. Balance, less sugar, optimal salt. Not really any particular dogma. I like that. It's just about processed foods. Aha. So somebody said it there. Jay. Depends on the person. Changes over time. I love that. So I think the issue that we have is we when a diet works for one thing, that they think that that's going to work for everything. That's not true. So if you're in the foundation phase and you've got high blood pressure, high blood sugar, then possibly lower carbohydrate diet can work for you initially. Science and evidence seems to prove that when you go lower carbohydrate and pull out the sugar, it can affect blood pressure very effectively. However, if you correct for all those problems and you're trying to put on a load of muscle, so now you're 10% body fat and you're trying to output in the gym, if you're on a low carbohydrate diet, it's going to have not say detrimental effects to performance, but your ability to be able to output is going to dramatically change. So you can see how diets transition throughout your weightlifting career. So throughout your physical change and your body composition journey, the diet will change. But also, I think psychologically is one of the biggest issues here. It's the diet that you can stick to, right? Now, if that's the Twinkie diet has been shown to be effective for fat loss. It has been done. So a gentleman, I'd love to remember the scientist's name, ate only Twinkies and a multivitamin within his caloric deficit, and he did lose a lot of body fat. And his blood markers looked better on a blood test. So not saying that that's necessarily the best way to go for you, but finding a diet that psychologically suits you. So when you look at meal timing for that, when you look at foods that you enjoy, and then when you look at how it allows you to perform physically, it's the combination of both of these things. So I implore, especially for the guys that are relatively new to this, try not to buy into any one modality of diet that is perceived as optimal. Yes, a lot of the time we're going to look to go higher protein. Yes, we want vegetables and whole food, but it doesn't have to be exclusively that in order for you to achieve your goal. Now, before we start getting into the daily top five and things that you can do immediately starting tomorrow in order to achieve your goal, we'll just go through the kind of things that you need. So, like if you're looking at fat loss directly, we all know that you need calories, macros, micronutrients, supplements. You might need peptides, right? Supplements, peptides are very much the tip of the spear here. And it's where people tend to jump to very, very quickly when they're going on their fat loss journey. Right? They want to know the supplement, they want to know the peptide. Although some of like the GLP-1 agonists now, don't get me wrong, they work, but it's not where you want to start. The most important factor, if you take everything else out of the equation, right, is going to be caloric intake. So if you control for calories, no matter what, you will lose weight. It may not be the weight you want. So you like if you only ate Haribo, which are sweets in the UK, I don't know if they have them in the States, you will lose weight. You'll lose body fat. However, you'll probably lose a bunch of muscle at the same time, which isn't ideal, right? But then you have to layer it on top of each other. So you need the just like with training, you need the foundations. So you need to know caloric intake first. Then you need to know macronutrient distribution. So, how much macros do you need in order to perform and maintain your muscle mass? So, you think about muscle mass, it's going to be protein. You think about perform, how many carbohydrates are you going to need? Possibly fat. And you think hormonal status, how much fats do it need? Right? Goes along a spectrum again. Protein probably being the most important, then fat-ish, and then maybe carbohydrate. But then you can start to layer in micronutrients. So, what kinds of foods are you eating? Are you eating a lot of fruit and vegetables? Are you eating high quality meat? Right? And then you can get into supplements and peptides, right? Some people put the cart before the horse when they're trying to create their diet. They'll always look for the fancy, easy thing first. Creating a diet is simple, sticking to it is hard. But I'm going to give you some advice on how you can stick to it. Now, diet for maintenance. I'm just going to come out of share for 1 minute. Everybody here is on a physical journey, right? So everybody here wants to lose weight, gain muscle, feel better. Nobody wants to stay the same. Robert Hartley goes out to buy a box of Twinkies. Well, it works. So everybody's here on a journey. Nobody wants to stay the same. I would say for you guys that learning, because I guarantee all of you at some stage in your life has lost weight when they've tried to. Yeah, hands up. Yeah, when you've really tried to, you've lost weight. right? A lot of you will have gained weight at a certain stage in their life, probably. How many of you have truly mastered the art of staying the same? Does anybody even know what their maintenance calories are? John, of course you do, Georgie. I would expect you to. Right, most of you don't even know what your maintenance caloric intake is. And that could be, so if any of my clients are on here and they're saying, no, that's my fault, right? You should know. But when we look at maintenance calories, that is your ability to be able to stay the same when things get really hard. We, as a society, we have a problem because we are either losing weight or gaining weight. Nobody has ever learned how to stay the same. Right. So we all have these grand goals of wanting to lose X amount of weight by X time. But what happens is things get hard at a certain point throughout that. You get a really hard deadline in work. You are going through a business dispute. You are going through X, 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 and the diet goes absolutely out the window. So you gain 10 pounds. Most people do it over Christmas. Spoke to a lot of guys when we came back after Christmas. They had gained 8, 9, 10 pounds. If they learn the art of staying the same, it means that at the end of that turbulent time, we start from where you left off. And the reason why I wanted to come out of share screen there is to emphasize that point for you guys. You're all really good and will get really good at losing weight. We're all really good at putting on body fat when times get hard. Nobody can maintain their body can maintain their body weight effectively. So knowing what that is and staying the same isn't always a bad thing. People look at it as stagnation. I look at it as preparation for when you're in a good position to progress towards your goals again. Okay? So knowing your maintenance calories is really, really important. Now, getting on, like, so then getting on to like diet for muscle growth. It's all of the above. So, like, it's calories, it's macros, it's micronutrients, it's all those things again. But the mistake, what do you guys think is the major mistake that everyone makes when they're trying to gain muscle mass? Vlad, this is not going to be applicable to you because you just need to eat all the calories. You can either shout it out or you can type it in.
I'm guessing then the answer is overeating calories.
Yeah. So everybody looks at a muscle gaining phase, eat too much, right? So everyone's putting that in, eating too much of the wrong stuff, overeating. When we try and put on muscle mass, there's a certain amount of weight that you want to gain each week to avoid gaining excessive amounts of fat. What everyone does is they see muscle growth or that phase of the diet as as an excuse to just eat what they want, dirty bulking. We all, anybody remember that phase? So it was mostly promoted by people who are on anabolic steroids, right? So easier to do that when you're taking a lot of anabolic steroids and you're genetically really gifted at the same time, right? So if you're thinking that you want to grow muscle mass, it's going to be way slower than you think it's going to be. So based off a 200-pound man, for example, you're going to be gaining about 0.4, 0.5 of a pound every single week. That's it. If you want to achieve successful weight gain without gaining excessive amounts of fat, because what most people do is they'll do the excessive amount of calories. Over 3, 4, 5, 6 months, they'll put on equal amounts fat to equal amounts muscle, and they have to spend even more time trying to cut that weight off again. So they spend more time in the year dieting when it's not necessary. They could have spent an extended more period trying to build muscle, but they just lay down too much fat. So think about the mistakes that are made throughout this. People always want to push, 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 push. Can't force feed muscle. Okay? So I think that's an important thing to think about. Now, why do people fail in any of these endeavors? First, they give up, right? So like that's the, like, call it the ultimate failure. So that means it's over, right? So they give up. But why do you guys think, let's use fat loss as the number one example. Why do you think most people fail psychologically?
Sometimes not seeing results quick enough. So psychologically, you start to think it's not working, lead you to quit or change and not be consistent.
Yeah, so consistency is huge, right? We'll touch on consistency actually when we get onto the daily top five. Make it too complicated? Absolutely. Lose focus? Yep. So those
Emotions.
things say, John.
Emotions.
Right? They can
Emotions
all
get the best of you.
right, absolutely. Unrealistic goals, yeah, probably. And that's a coach's role, right? Is to rein you in on that. I would argue, has anybody ever listened to anything by Alex Hormozi? Anybody ever heard of him? Some of his stuff's really good. I guess he'd call him like a jacked business coach, right? So he tends to attract a lot of people from the fitness industry. He makes a really good point. So like learning something is your ability to be able to uptake information. Intelligence, he regards as speed of behavioral change. So, for example, if I walked up to Des and I showed him, or he used this example, which I think is great, and I showed him a red card and then I smacked him in the face, right? If I showed up the next day and I did it the same and I smacked him in the face, I showed up a day later, I did it again, you would expect him to either punch me first or to move. Right? It's your ability to be able to change behavior based off input. So, what happens to a lot of people is when they're trying to cut weight, they repeat the same mistakes over and over and over again. The diet keeps showing them the red card, but they keep trying to white knuckle it and do the exact same thing over and over again. For example, you don't prepare your food the night before, so you massively undereat while you're in work. You're on the drive home, and you know that's when you get triggered for food. You drive down the same road by that same Burger King, and you pull into the drive-through, right? You know what's going to happen, yet you still carry on with the same actions. So he would regard it, and I do this. I've done this in a lot of things, so this is not me directly at you. He would regard that as being stupid, right? And you would consider that stupid if you were to look at it in somebody else. Okay, but we do a lot of the same stuff. So, can you guys think of anything directly in your life that has been showing you the red card in terms of your diet, yet you keep repeating that same mistake over and over again? Be honest. And I'll tell you what mine is. It's not planning the night before. And it doesn't necessarily have to be preparing my food the night before. It's planning my day the next day. White pudding, man. Yeah. Just can't have it in the house. It's not planning the night before. If I don't know and give myself meal times throughout the day, I let the day take me. I'll let work take me. I'll let demands take me. And then I will get too hungry and I will overindulge in something. It is as predictable as the sun rising in the morning for me. Yet sometimes I go to bed and think I don't have to plan tonight. So what are people saying? Robert, Saturday out with the kids all day. Wasn't hungry. Then I go from breakfast until 3 without grabbing something to eat. Only successful when I pack food to eat on the road. So what should we do? Thanks, Vlad. So what should we do? Prepare the food. Weekend family meals. But you can prepare for that, right? So like George puts down like weekend family meals takes him off plan. I would disagree to a certain extent because he can adjust the rest of his week in preparation for that meal. And I'm sure you do, George, by the way. So, but it's just for reference. Weekend family meals, proper organization, not enough time to prep food. We have the time somewhere, Larry, I would argue. What do you think? Larry?
Sometimes I'm able to do it, and other times not because life gets in the way, right? So I can't stay absolutely consistent with that. I do okay, but there are times where life gets too busy, and then yes, you run out of time to come in.
Right. So is it worth in your circumstance to prep for longer periods of time? So allocating certain times within the week to prepare for 3 days rather than just trying to prepare for one.
Yeah, that would probably work better.
Just a thought. It's because it's only
Yeah.
briefly we're talking about this, but definitely worth a thought. So do you guys have a daily top five? So it doesn't necessarily have to be based around nutrition. It can be based around things that you have to do within a day to make sure that that day is successful. Does anybody plan their night the night before? George, what's your daily top five, George?
Majority of my daily top five starts is all in the morning. So from when I wake, so a lot of the preparation has to happen the night before. I meal prep every 2 days, but I'm very, very lucky where I work. I'm in a shopping center, and on my way to my car, I can pick up the food that I need. So it's all very well planned out. But my daily fives are basically not all related to food, though.
No, it doesn't have to be,
And
right? It's just for the successful day.
yeah, and the successful day starts at I wake up 5, so straight into a cold shower, and it's a 1 minute cold shower. Then I go straight into a liter of a drink that I've put together, which is magnesium, etc. That's number two. But then I go straight into a 30-minute meditation. And then I'll go for a swim. So there are four of them, and the fifth has actually got to do with my family. So
Okay.
those four I get done between 5 a.m. and 7 a.m.
Okay. So that sets George up, not necessarily for the day of food, right? But that sets him up for a day of success. I think a lot of us allow the world to influence us rather than us try to influence the world with preparation. Des, did you say you have a top five?
Daily mobility. That's usually like 45 minutes a day. Daily gratitude, 10 pages of a book, movement after meal, and breath work before meal.
Right. So he's regulating his nervous system before he eats for adequate digestion. He's walking afterwards in order to regulate his blood sugar. So it regulates appetite really well. So think about those things in your life that you can implement. And as you can see, they don't have to be specific. They don't have to be particularly difficult. You just have to lean towards your goal. So I'll give you an example of what works for me is if I want to have a successful day, not just based around nutrition, I have to plan the night before. When I was in Costa Rica, when we reflected on the year before and what things went well and what things didn't go so well, I realized that a lot of my shortcomings, if you want to call that, are because I don't create enough rigidity in my day. I'm not great with flexibility. So if I allow, say, oh, I'll do it at some stage, whatever that task is, I'll allow that to snowball and disappear as the day goes on. So I had to create rigidity. So I had to plan the night before. I have to have meal timings throughout the day. I wake up at 4:30. That I go to bed very early, so you guys might see 4:30 as insane, but I do go to bed very early. I have to get my muscle intelligence client facing work done first because that gets the biggest weight off my shoulders, so I can move on with the rest of the day with other tasks. And then I have to reflect at the end of the day. So reflection without judgment allows us to look back on the day and see where mistakes were made and why they happened. So for me, I can go back 2 days ago. If I allow myself to come off schedule, is where I start to think of things that aren't aligned with my goal, Right. So I fobbed off some bit of work that I didn't have to do until next week. And I sat and I watched a bit of Netflix. Not that watching Netflix is a bad thing. However, towards my goals, it doesn't really fit, particularly at that time of the day. And that's where I start to think about off food. That's where I start to think about all the things that will not help me towards my goal. So that's just what I realized in daily reflection. Can anybody think of one thing that they could do every single day that will move them closer to the goal they're not currently doing? Or one sacrifice they could make? Yeah, especially in Scotland, there's. Bad routine walk. Robert, so like I literally spend a minute, 2 minutes doing gratitude in the evening as part of my reflection. I do find it beneficial. I do genuinely. And I think that it allows you to look at things in a positive in a positive scope or in a positive light before you go to bed. Sometimes we go to bed with that agitation from the day that's just occurred, and I think looking back on the positive things that actually happened in that day can be really influential. Add routine, plan tomorrow today, and wade through the heavy tasks first. Yeah, man, it just takes the weight off me, Keith, genuinely. Scheduling high value activities for sure, Greg. I think that's a really important thing. So a lot of the time we will just put like lists of things that we have to do, right? Instead of time blocking and scheduling them, that we have to do them at this time for this amount of time. Yeah. So I think when we're trying to bring this all together, right? We can look at when we're thinking about creating the plan, you first have to know what the goal is. So objectively, what do you want to achieve? Right? And people will say weight loss. And I'm like, okay, how much? And they don't know. That's okay, right? Like that's between you and the coach to be able to figure out what that is. But putting an objective stamp on it, I think is really important. So I want to achieve this, right? Then we figure out how long it's going to take. Yeah. Then we'll segment it. So we know the goal, we know how long, then we'll segment it into the macro. So we'll think, right, your foundation phase first, we have to go through fat loss, right? So we're going to achieve this goal. Then we're going to do a maintenance phase while you travel, right? And then we're going to do a muscle building phase. All of those require different diets and different inputs and different emphasis. So, and then you can break it down into the micro. So you break down into daily goals for that segment, right? What do I have to do? Five things that I have to do every single day that at the end of every day I can tick off and say I got closer. So for a lot of my clients, it'll be like, stay within 10% of calories. It will be, drink a liter of water, blah, and then whatever they may be. But I think reassessing then is integral. So once you've achieved that one goal of the macro, we need to go and reassess. So what's the next goal? How do we achieve that? And then we set new daily goals in order to get there. We're so bogged down in the macro of the goal that we can't see the micro effects that we have to do every single day. That is the end of me speaking. Does anybody have any questions on any of that? Or anybody have questions about, generally ask me about, I can't answer questions about training and mindset and all those things as well, but generally I'd be better with nutrition. But if you guys have any other questions, I'm more than happy to answer. You guys can just shout them out.
Yeah, in the past, I've done the 5 meal a day plan and doing kind of 3 meals a day right now. Is there one that's better than another, or is it just dependent on the where you're at in the cycles, or what are your thoughts?
Really, That's a really good question, right? So I would say for fat, so if macros are equated, right? So macros and calories are the same. Is 3 meals or 5 meals better? So yeah, again, it depends, right? When you're in a caloric deficit, so when you're trying to drive fat loss, I don't think it matters, right? That's going to be what's suited to you best. When we're in a caloric deficit, the body will absorb calories and macronutrients really well. So eating 2 meals versus 5 meals in a caloric deficit, I don't think really matters. When you're in a muscle growth phase, the amount of impetus and stimulus you give the body does matter. So ha having protein stimuluses a certain amount of times in the day over a long period of time will have more will have a bigger impact on muscle growth. They seem to think it's about 4 meals, right? So 4 meals is enough to stimulate growth enough times in the day.
Thank you.
No problem, Ryan.
Greg, I had a
Has
question
anybody else
about,
got any? Go ahead,
yeah,
Robert.
a question about sort of natural proteins and natural food versus supplements. So I'm trying hard to keep my protein levels up because I'm so tall, I get skinny very quickly if I'm in a calorie deficit, and I'll lose all my muscle mass. And because I'm busy at work, the way I'm being able to maintain at the moment is to just try and keep my meals really tight, but that means a lot of it is I'll have a protein bar to hit one, like in between meal. I've done a meal replacement shake in the morning just so I know exactly what calories I'm getting. But I sometimes feel like how much of my nutrition am I getting from something that was in a shake or is processed? I feel it would be better for me if I was having a nice, chicken breast with some veggies, but I can't always get it done. Is there much research into like a balance there, or would I be better going, I'm not going to hit my protein today, but I don't want to have just another shake or another protein bar because it's full of artificial sweeteners, and it's kind of trying to find that balance.
Yeah, so you think you hit the nail on the head to finish. It's about finding the balance, right? So I would normally say to somebody, what's more, if they said what's more important, I'd be like, hit your protein target. So however you can get there. Now, your protein bars and your protein shakes are void or more void of the micronutrients that you would probably get from a meat source, right? So you're missing something with them. You are also missing the fat that tends to back the protein. So I used to listen to a very intelligent doctor, Dr. Eric Serrano, used to always talk about protein shakes in this way. Like, there's no animal, if anybody can name it, you get 2 points. There's no animal in nature. Or there's no protein in nature that isn't backed by fat. And he seemed to think there may be a problem with that. I'd argue there probably isn't. But I would say if you're getting 80 to 90% of your food from good sources, if you have to make up the extra 20%, I think that's okay. So, for example, it's the same when someone's trying to eat an excessive amount of food to gain weight or gain muscle, and they're getting to the stage where they just can't eat more chicken, vegetable, and rice. It's like, I get it. So, in some circumstances like that, it's like, okay, let's use protein powder with a load of peanut butter, a load of honey, blend it up, and drink it. Is it ideal? No, but it's getting you to your target.
It's
Anybody
funny.
else want to ask any?
Greg, are you
Go
there?
ahead. Ah, Tony, how are you doing?
Great. I find, I mean, I can, for the years and years and years and years I've been doing this, to have joined up with you and have learned, so much, from what you've taught me in the last, 2.5 months, where you've put all of this almost like I have all this knowledge about proteins and fats and carbohydrates and all this other stuff. And it's almost like a pile of books on the floor. Whereas you have taken these books and put them onto a library shelf for me. And one of the things that I have always found, and I can only speak for myself in a case like this, but we had this conversation the other day, protein powder just makes me feel, just the thought of it now makes me feel ill. And I find I find something as simple going to bed. Now, you can argue that or not. And I'm not talking about, you know, having carbs going to bed, but having something like, you know, 50 or 75 grams of a good cheddar, or, you know, some really good antipasto salamis, or, you know, something like a really good quality, I find really not only appeases, you know, my urge or my hunger requirement, but I feel very, very satiated without having to eat any kind of a carb with that. Mm-hmm. You know, does that make any sense?
Yeah, for sure. Well, protein by far is the most satiating of the macronutrients just in of itself, right? And if finding, like, you found a food source that suits you in particular and gives you that satiation. And like, that's what I implore, like, most people to try and figure out. So Tony's figured out a hack where he can fight off food hunger with a certain type of food that keeps him within his plan. And I think that's really important for you guys to figure out for yourselves as well, and with the guidance from Coach.
Les, can you still hear me?
Yep.
Well, that's it's just the way that you've laid out my diet. All of these foods that you have given me, I just eat them differently now. And of course, as we've discussed, I incorporate a lot of fasting. I love fasting. And even when I wasn't doing any of this, fasting was important for me. I just love fasting. But I just find that when I fast to noon or until after my training, and I get home, which is like another whole hour after my training, to be home at, let's just say, noon, and I start my food prep, and I generally know what I'm making because I basically eat all the same thing, except on the weekend where I a little bit more variety. But for the most part, I'm still eating my meat, my rice, or my potatoes, you know, like that. But I find that when I've fasted, I'm more inclined to need that protein at night. Whereas on a, like today, a Wednesday, where I got up, Wednesdays I don't fast. I eat a regular, what I would call a regular breakfast on Wednesdays. And then it's back to the diet for most of the day. You know, where I'll eat toast, or I'll eat something that's just a little bit different on Wednesday. And then I go back to my regular diet. And then like tonight, I'm not hungry at all. And I've had my four meals, right? And then, mm-hmm. So now it's almost 7 p.m. here where I live. And I will, you know, go to bed. I won't have anything to eat because I don't believe I'll be hungry. And, I will, you know, get up at whatever time I get up. I'll go into my email. I'll see what you want me to do for my training today. And I will drive for an hour to get to the gym. I will do my training. I'll drive home and I won't eat again until noon. And I guarantee you that at night, going to bed, at whatever time I go to bed, I need to eat something. And sometimes it's a whole can of salmon, or sometimes it's just, there's no carbs, but there's a big blast of protein. And of course, with any of those foods, you know, there's a good amount of fat that goes with it. I'm not sure what the percentages are necessarily, but, you know, and I feel good, and I'm still losing weight.
It's awesome. And I think the really important point of all that is that in combination, right, we figured out what works for you. And that's the important part of that. So through his input and my input, we figured out the diet that suits his lifestyle, but also his physiology for the most part, that we can keep hunger at bay as much as possible. So that's great feedback. I appreciate that.
Cheers.
Anybody else, guys?
Just a probably more generic question or general question. How would you recommend we find our maintenance calorie levels and what we need to do for fat burning or the low calorie, and what percentage for the macros? And that's kind of where I'm having my biggest stumbling block these days, trying to figure out what the right percentages should be and build a plan according to that.
Right. Now, you can go on to bodybuilding.com. and use their equation, right? So the equations are all really similar for figuring out your maintenance calories. Genuinely, they are. They'll all spit out something. There's a few different equations. There's the McArdle equation and can't remember the other ones. Anyway, they'll all spit out some sort of number based off your weight, your age, and your sex and your activity level. They'll all spit out something around about the same. Then you can obviously take 10%, 15% off that, or whatever it looks like. Now, the reason why people fail with a lot of dieting is because they're not consistent enough to see if that's actually enough for them. So this is going to be an average maintenance based off people, your weight, your age, your sex, all the above. You could be better or worse than that. So you have to be able to stick with something for a certain amount of time and then adjust based off that. So the problem is people aren't consistent with a plan for 2 weeks to be able to see. Now, in terms of protein, like I normally just say, they got a real ballpark is simple, like a pound or sorry, a gram per pound will work really, really well. If you hit that target, you're going to struggle to overeat, especially at the beginning. Now, most people will respond well to a 10% deficit. So if they find their maintenance, they remove 10%, they hit that in protein, and they do it consistently, they'll lose weight.
Perfect. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem. Still got time, boys. Any questions?
I've got a quick one, Greg.
Go, Des.
There's a guy at my gym that was asking me about a fatty liver and what approach to take to a fatty liver.
So non-alcoholic fatty, or it's called metabolically associated fatty liver disease now. So I think 30% of the population in the States is supposed to have it. So a real problem. Now, when you look at the research, caloric deficit by far is the most effective. However, they did show that a ketogenic diet in the beginning, I think it was for the first 2 to 4 weeks, is really effective at removing fat out of the liver. The great thing about non-alcoholic fatty liver is, first of all, there's no pill for it yet, so they can't fix it in that way. But as long as it doesn't move on to NASH or any of the above, it's very easy to reverse. So that's where I always start first. So I would normally think aggressive caloric deficit, the first 2 to 4 weeks, probably to use keto if you can. If you can't, just a caloric deficit. Now, the supplements that seem to work really well, choline works really well. When they wanted to induce non-alcoholic fatty liver disease in rats, they just choline depleted them, right? So it's one way you can go about it. So choline works well. N-acetylcysteine works really well. So NAC you'll see at about 2,400 milligrams.
Right. He's struggles to do cardio because he's got dodgy knee as well, so that's probably not a great one either.
He's just got to figure out what he can do. So, like, if that's just bike work, like, whatever he can get on that doesn't hurt his knee. So, like, even if it's the arm thing, right? So, even if it's the elliptical, whatever it is, just something he can use to get aerobic work done. The other thing that seems to work particularly well is black cumin seed oil.
Thanks for that, Greg.
With vitamin E, and lastly, probiotics work. Fatty liver is strongly associated with gut dysbiosis as well. So it's called the multiple hit theory. So it seems to be a few things that are causing it. But start there, he'll do well.
Perfect. Thanks, Greg.
No probs. So Matt's asked a question. Greg, can you share your expertise on the following? No structure to nutrition, unwise. Help as why exist. So, like, there's layers to this, right? So, like, if you're sat there and you have no structure to your nutrition, that's where you have to start. So you have to find a way, either through a coach or through yourself, you have to figure out how to gain structure within your diet. So whether that's planning the night before, whether that's setting 3 square meals in the day, figuring out your calories, figuring out your protein, figuring out meal timing, all those things, right? You have to start there. Macros and a meal plan is what you need then. So you know what you have to do. Now we talk about the types of food that we can fit into that. Right? Now, then when you have issues, when you feel that you have bigger issues than that, so if you think you're so if you're suffering particularly with gut health issues that maybe compounding your problems, or you feel that there may be something underlying going on, then looking at testing can be a really good option to get a whole helicopter view or holistic view of you. It can allow us just to look at things in a little bit more, a little bit deeper, slightly more granular level as well as a helicopter view, and then to create a complete plan around you. So there's, like I said, there's layers to this a little. But it currently, if you're not even sticking to any sort of structure, it's place number. Any more questions, guys? Test. For every 10 men that you work with, how many need this? 30, 40%, I would say, would see a lot of. Now, most people who get a digestive test done, there's always something to work on, like with anything, right? You'll always find something that you can emphasize and work on. How many people do I see that come back with true dysfunction that needs particular isolated attention? Probably 3 to 4 out of 10, for sure. Some people don't quite know. Some people don't quite know the symptoms that the digestive system can cause on the rest of their body, right? So people have don't necessarily have traditional digestive digestive symptoms, but they've got joint pain, they've got brain fog, they've got depression. They can, doesn't always, but they can play into that. So there's stuff that happens outside of digestion that can be the cause of digestive dysfunction as well. Okay, guys. Thank you all. Have a lovely Wednesday evening, and I'll see you all soon.
All right, thank you.